On April the 11th, Pope Francis promulgated a papal decree entitled Misericordiae Vultus. Kind of sounds like Star Trek, Vultus. And in this, he convoked an extraordinarily jubilee year. They usually happen every 25 years, so we weren't due for a few more years, but he said, no, we're going to have one this year, and the theme is going to be mercy. It's a very beautiful read, and you can find it online in my pastor's corner, the first sentence, because I can't spell, spells Misericordiae Vultus, so you punch it in your search engine, and boom, it pops right up. Now, what I thought was ironic, on the day that we kick off this year of mercy, we have a teaching in today's gospel where John the Baptist is talking about justice. So I thought I'd like to look at how mercy and justice complement each other. So justice is that virtue that mandates to give to another what is due. What do we owe to God? What do we owe to neighbor? And vice versa. If you will, it is the letter of the law. So John the Baptist is very clear to two groups in today's gospel. He says to the tax collectors, stop collecting more than what is prescribed. The law says this is the amount. Well, tax collectors would charge a little bit more and then pocket the rest. So John the Baptist is saying, no, only take that which is prescribed. To the soldiers, he said, be satisfied with your wages. Do not practice extortion. So soldiers were using their power and authority to shake people down and pocket the money. So this is justice. Collect what you're supposed to collect. Be satisfied with your wages. Take nothing more or nothing less. Follow the letter of the law. As for mercy, mercy is the pardon for the punishment that is due when a wrong is committed. Now, we have to understand, mercy acknowledges that justice exists. It's not blind. It's not laxness to say nothing. It says, look, this is what's due, but we diminish it out of mercy. So mercy and justice have to be in the same situation. The easiest example of justice, of mercy, is I always think of a little five-year-old who breaks a lamp or something in the house. How are they supposed to fulfill justice? How are they supposed to buy a new lamp, a new TV, whatever it is that they broke? Well, as parents or as the adults, we think of justice. We might sit little Johnny down and say, now remember we talked about not playing ball in the house, right? A little teaching moment. Maybe there's a little time out so they understand what they did. Maybe they go without a little treat that night after dinner. So that would be the justice part of it. But they could never fulfill justice fully. So we say mercy. We'll go out and buy the new lamp ourselves. So let's apply this now to our relationship with God. Although we are children of God, although we are loved by God, we are his sons and daughters, we also know we've inherited a fallen nature. So cross-reference Genesis 3. Romans 3 tells us all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. Cross-reference today's newspaper. So in justice, we've all done something wrong. Somewhere along the way, you would think, okay, we should all embrace the punishment that is due. But as for the afterlife, one of the questions I'm asked again and again and again, especially from I go over to the 7th and 8th graders, and I got this question this week, was, well, how is it that an all-loving God sends people to hell? Well, the short answer is he doesn't, right? Short answer is that people will choose this part in the afterlife. Through their actions, through their thoughts, through what they do, they'll say, I'm out of relationship with you, God. It's not just what we do, but then what's after the fact. We don't repent. We don't come back and say, God, sorry I offended you. Neighbor, sorry I offended you. God wants to give us mercy, but he's a gentleman and we have to ask. And this is where this year of mercy comes into play, in this beautiful document. The very first line of it, Pope Francis writes, Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy. Jesus Christ is the face of the Father's mercy. Yes, we can think of God as out there, this sort of cosmic power, you know, but in less than 2 weeks, what do we celebrate? he shows up as a little bitty baby here in this manger. We can see the face of God when we look upon the face of Christ. This little bitty baby is going to grow up, and he'll have 3 years of a public ministry. And in it, one of the themes he talks about again and again and again is mercy. In Matthew 18, we have the servant that comes to his Lord, and the Lord's going to put him in prison and sell his family to get the money back, and he begs him, please, 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 please have mercy. So the guy says, okay, mercy, get out of here. Then that guy leaves, but he doesn't show mercy to the person who's indebted to him. Then finally, the first person finds out and gets mad, and he says, hey, wait a second. I showed you mercy. Shouldn't you have turned around and showed mercy as well? In Matthew 5, one of the Beatitudes tells us, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be showed mercy. In Luke 6, we have that very beautiful teaching on love your enemies. The very end of it, Jesus says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. There are dozens of others. That's your homework. Go read the entire 4 Gospels before dinner tonight and get all the references for us. But we can see again and again and again this beautiful message of mercy. We get this ultimately through Christ. He's going to come into the world. He's going to teach us, show us God's love. Then he'll die so our sins can be forgiven. Then he goes up and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he continually intercedes for us, allowing those flood of mercy to come upon us. Through Christ's prayers and intercessions and his death upon the cross, the Father says, yes, I want to make this mercy available to you. But again, we have to ask. We have to take that honest look upon ourselves and say, have I offended God? Have I offended my neighbor? And if I did, I must come and say, sorry, God. Sorry, neighbor. Please forgive me. Please offer me this mercy. The second paragraph starts with another beautiful line. Pope Francis writes, we need constantly to contemplate the mystery of mercy. It is the wellspring of joy, serenity, and peace. Our salvation depends upon it. Now, I know at times justice can seem scary. When Adam and Eve knew justice was coming, they hid. When I was a young man, I knew justice was coming, I hid. I guess as a middle-aged man, I hide too sometimes. But yes, it can be scary. Yes, it can hurt. We all know the saying, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, right? But yes, God is a God of justice, but more importantly, a God of mercy. So as we continue to prepare the way of the Lord this Advent, as we continue to say yes to the beautiful birth of Christ, I want us to think about another line that Pope Francis gives us in this document. He says, mercy will always be greater than any sin, and no one can place limits on the love of God who is ever ready to forgive. So this Advent, let's admit our faults. We've had our penance service here ready, but in our bulletin, there's other penance services going around. Give us a call. Come on in. Get that little tune-up ready. So this way, when Christmas comes, we can be ready to receive the joy, serenity, and peace by obtaining God's mercy.